Hi, everybody, and welcome to the next installment of the Crossbar Podcast. I'm Travis Barrett.
I'm Dave Dyer.
And we are staff writers here at the Kennebec Journal and the Morning Sentinel Sports Department. Big week.
And we've not been fired yet. We got to episode two.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's a big mark. There's some TV shows that never got that.
They don't get to episode two. So I'm a little disappointed. I didn't get a single angry email this week.
Not one.
Slow week. Must have been because of the long weekend. I'm going to jump right into it. I feel like I got to talk about that Gardner-Waterville hockey game on Saturday night. It's that old saying, so often those games just don't live up to the hype. And I thought, Gardner is the best team that Waterville's played all year. They had chances in the first period and in the second period to take leads, couldn't capitalize, took too many penalties, and ultimately it just swung the momentum against them. But I know Waterville felt pretty fortunate to get out of there. Not necessarily fortunate to get out of there with a win. It wasn't like they were completely outplayed, but they knew they had to work for a win, which was pretty nice to see, especially like this afternoon sitting around the office and the scores roll in and Waterville's back to pummeling teams from the county 13-0. So good game. I would not be surprised at all. And it's not really just like hometown chest pounding. I would not be surprised to see Waterville and Gardner meet up again in the state championship, because I could see Gardner coming out of that south bracket. They've beaten seeds 2, 3, and 4 right behind them in the Hill Point standings already in the south. And they're big and they're strong and they're fast and they create some problems for teams. So I think it's going to be fun to keep an eye on them. It was a big crowd, even though the Patriots were playing at the same time. You know, you expect the crowd to be down on Saturday night with the NFL playoffs, but the building was packed and loud, and it was really a neat atmosphere. It was a good game.
Well, it's a nice storyline because, it was easy to call at the beginning of the season that Waterville is going to be the favorite. So the fact that, there's a team, and obviously in our case, we're extremely lucky to have, a hometown team, two hometown teams who can have that rivalry going forward, finishing out the season. So, it's funny because we talked last week about measuring sticks.
Right.
Clearly, and this was a measuring stick really for both teams.
Yeah.
For Gardner, it proved that they can play with Waterville. For Waterville, it was that oh shucks moment of we've got a team that can compete with us.
Yeah.
So going forward, Gardner's full of confidence and Waterville has, that little I certainly wouldn't say fear by any stretch of the imagination, they now know there's someone who can play on our level on a particular night.
Yeah.
So I
think what was, for me as a hockey guy, what was fascinating about it is they really kind of play two different styles, which it wasn't really set up to be a track meet between two, teams that are just built on speed down the middle and a lot of skill. It was really Waterville speed and skill, which they've got in spades. I mean, they've got it from, right from the net on out, versus a team that is built on being defensively sound in Gardner, an all-state goalie who's returning in Michael Poirier, and big forwards who can get in on the forecheck and knock guys around. I thought if there's any weakness that I have seen this season from Waterville that Gardner was able to sort of showcase is that as good as Andrew Rodriguez is, and he's in that very short conversation for best high school hockey players in the state anywhere, and Matt Joliker, two senior defensemen, they make up their top defensive pair, they're not exceptionally big kids. And Gardner was able at times to get the puck in on them and hem them in and knock them around a little bit. There was one time in the third period where Rodriguez went down. Ended up having a whistle, stopped play, kind of landed awkwardly, and you could see him kind of working out his back and his shoulder on the bench. And I asked Dennis Martin, the Waterville coach, afterwards, I said, how nervous were you? And he just kind of rolled his eyes and said, basically, that's one piece, as much of a team and as much depth as Waterville has, I think if you lost Rodriguez, you'd feel it. He does so many things for them, from the power play to shorthanded and 5-on-5, he really gets things moving. And they had trouble working the puck out against Gardner.
I think what I love, and maybe I sound crazy by saying this, but I feel like this rivalry feels fresher.
Yeah.
In Maine high school hockey, we always talk about the usual rivalries. Like, I grew up in southern Maine down in York County. It's always Biddeford Thorne Academy.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
And they basically, own southern Maine hockey.
Yeah.
You have Lewiston and St. Dom's
all
the time.
Yeah. Well, and I'm what, 10 years older than you are, but I remember Coney Gardner back in the 80s and 90s was huge. So I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, just to be able to build up, a fresher rivalry and one that could end up being just as intense was pretty – that's great. It's great for the state.
Yep.
And it's great for, these teams, and it's going to be fun to watch for fans going forward, well, to the postseason. I think you're absolutely right. I think these two teams will see each other again. I don't think that's a stretch at all.
No, it's not. I think the only thing – I do think, where Waterville is head and shoulders above the rest of B North right now, and I think even the other coaches in that region would tell you that, Gardner's not head and shoulders above those teams in the South, but the one wild card they have, again, is Poirier, and you can just envision a scenario where they might not play their best game, but he steals them a playoff win that just gets them to another round where they, kind of get their feet under them. But the biggest problem for Gardner the other night, and Gardner coach Sam Moore talked about it after the game, the biggest problem for them has been discipline all season. They just take too many penalties. And we were talking about before, it's not the power play goals teams score against you or that you give up. It's the momentum that you lose when you start to establish something and start to get your foot in the game a little bit, and then you go sit in the box and you're killing penalties. And they don't, for all the, the eight seniors they have, they don't go very deep. They don't play a third line a lot. So the problem for Gardner becomes their best players are also killing their penalties. And it wears it out of you. And I think it's what happened the other night. So it's... that's one thing they're going to have to solve.
In any sport, the most disciplined team ends up going furthest. I mean, that's you could say that for not just hockey, but for any sport, really. We always preach about it in football. You limit the penalties, and hockey's the same way. Just can't give up. You can't give up that extra skater. You give that team the power play, and especially a team like Waterville, and they're going to take advantage of it every time.
How it goes. So it was great. It was nice to, like I said before, it was nice to have something sort of live up to the pregame hype. That was that made it worth it. It was a good atmosphere.
It just makes you feel good when something
feel all warm and fuzzy.
Well, it's like the Cowboys Packers game. Here we go right back in the NFL for the Cowboys Packers game the other day. Everybody's expecting a great game, and look what happened.
Yeah.
It ends up being one of the best games of the year. And
I never envisioned an 8-0 Waterville win in that game. I thought, again, Poirier is too good a goaltender. It's something they haven't seen. But I liked what Gardner tried to do, and they definitely have an identity, and I think that's a good thing to have. I think it's one of the things you hear hockey at all levels, coaches talk about, got to have an identity. And I think both those teams do, and again, like I said before, one of the things I really liked about it was they have two different identities. It's not two teams trying to do the same thing and who can do it better. They're going about it in different ways, and I think that just makes it that much more compelling to watch. It's too bad they only play once during the regular season. I mean, it'd be great to see them play again.
Absolutely.
What do you got, Dave? Tell me about Messalonsky Swimming. A little off the beaten path here, but they accomplished something extremely rare.
Yep, the Messalonsky Lawrence boys swim team back on December 30th defeated Brunswick in a meet, and it was huge. For anybody who knows kind of the main swim game, Brunswick basically dominates in boys and girls swimming, than they have for a long time. It's not really a secret that they kind of rule the pool, as it were.
Well done. Did you think it?
I did. That
just came
up.
I did not steal.
I don't believe that's. I'm going to trademark that. But
we should make T-shirts.
But recently, back on December 30th, Messalonsky Lawrence Swimming, boys swimming, I should say, beat Brunswick, and that snapped a 30 meet win streak for the Brunswick boys team. The last time they lost a regular season meet was 2013.
True.
So that was huge, and once again, keep coming back to the metric stick.
Yeah,
but that goes to show you that's a team, and Messalonsky swim team, both boys and girls, have already racked up 12 swimmers for the state meet already going forward. So the way it's going right now, and Beth Progovis, I talked to her the other day, she's expecting more with the last couple meets of the regular season. So. They could make some noise coming to certainly the KVACs, but certain states as well.
Yeah. Swimming to me is always, it's one of those sports, again, it's off the beaten path.
Yeah.
It doesn't get a lot of attention. But you want to talk about pure athletes. Oh, oh, I'm all set with that.
Yeah, the last play in the world. I won. I don't look good with my shirt off. Period. But that's true. Also, I don't want people to see me doing that while swimming. I don't swim well. Doggy paddle.
Stop taking your shirt off around.
I keep doing it around the office. It's uncomfortable. Just a bad. HR is being called. It's not good. It's a bad thing. So I'm working on my tan.
If you keep it up, it won't be
with the lights here in the office.
It won't be the podcast that gets you fired. It's those shirtless stretches.
Absolutely. But Messalonsky's starting to rack up a whole bunch of swimmers for states, and they're on a roll. I mean, that was the headline of my notebook today. They're getting it done on both sides, and not only are they getting swimmers who will compete in events at states, but multiple events.
Yeah.
I believe, like, looking at it, they had two on the girls' side and two or three on the boys' side who are competing in every individual event at states, which only helps rack up the points,
right.
The team points. Right. You know, what I appreciate about these swim teams is obviously it's an individual sport in a lot of ways, and these kids are trying to break their own times and beat their own, you know, break records. At the same time, though, they're racking up points for their team.
Right.
And you know, the way that the coaches are setting them up is to get those team points, to get as many points as possible. So Messalonsky is definitely on a roll. Probably the top team in the area right now for swimming would be Coney Girls.
Mm.
Coney Girls have already defeated Brunswick. They beat Brunswick earlier in the season. And I dare say, I don't think it's a stretch right now to say that they might actually be the team to beat at the state meet right now.
Well, I know their coach had talked coming into the year about this might be the deepest and most talented team.
Yeah.
I feel weird saying deepest when we're talking about swimming. It feels like a bad pun.
I know.
But he had talked, you know, he was very enthusiastic about what Coney might be able to accomplish this season with some of the talent that he had coming.
And they've lived up to the hype, and again, if you beat Brunswick, you have my attention. And they certainly have done that, and they continue to win, and they, I don't think, if you beat Brunswick and you're going into the state meet, I think you, in my book, that makes you the favorite, but you know, they still have to beat Brunswick again, you know, at the state meet, so, and as well as every other team that's participating.
Yeah.
But the way they're going right now, it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to do it. And then another team that's kind of rounding out the group is Waterville. I talked with Justin Drew the other day. He's got multiple kids who are going to states and racking up state times, and that's another team that's going to, I think they'll challenge Messalonsky pretty well at KVACs. We'll see where they go with states, but he's very happy with how they've progressed. And so I think right now you're looking at, if I had to put it in order, probably Coney Girls, Messalonsky on both sides of the pool there being second, and then Waterville probably is our top three area teams. So we got some good representation in the pool coming up for KVA seasons for states. So.
Well, and I think it's sort of the swim season and the skiing season, they're kind of at that same point in the year where now you feel like the intensity is picking up. You notice that there's bigger events. You know, the weekend over at Levitt High School, they had the Hornet Classic, which is a Nordic skiing event. A lot of teams show up for it because now we're sort of at that point in the season where teams are trying to figure out, who are we, what have we got, and are we going to be peaking when the conference tournaments roll around, which, you know, the conference meets, and the state meet itself, especially for Nordic skiing, is at the end of February vacation week, kind of when the high school basketball tournament is rolling in. So, and, you know, a week or two before that, you've got regionals, you've got conference meets, and this is now when skiers are starting to really I don't know, sort of ramp up their preparation, focus more on meets, focus more on, instead of just technique and getting out and getting your work in, now it's becoming about times and performances. To the surprise of nobody, you know, the Mount Blue boys and the Marengo girls were really, really good over the weekend in Levitt. So, you know, to say that Mount Blue and Marengo skiing is having a good year, I don't think we're really surprising anybody here.
It's the same thing every year. It's death taxes and those two teams doing well in skiing. So, I mean, They have good leadership, you know, good coaching as always, but they just churn out the skiers. Right. However, it's just, you know, it's not unlike Brunswick swimming.
Yeah,
really.
Right.
It's a strong program with a good lineage, they just get it done.
If you're Mount Blue skiing, you go over and you win the Hornet Classic there at Leavitt, and you do it without, you know, some of your top skiers because they're off competing in big, you know, regional events, you know, the Eastern States kind of stuff. So, they're really good. I guess it helps when you live over in the Western Mountains. You know, when you live over in the Franklin County area of Maine, probably not a bad place to get some skiing.
When it's a short hop to just, like, I'm just going to go, like, in my backyard, and I'm going to go just do some skiing, and it's going to be great. And I'm going to take some practice, and then I'm going to come in for some cocoa. And
yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Wow, cocoa. Huh.
I haven't had any in a while.
Kids even do, I don't know. Yes, kids still drink that. My daughter is addicted to it. Even in the summer.
Is Ovaltine still a thing?
Not still a thing.
Okay.
No. It does still exist.
Okay.
Good luck.
I'm really, like, yeah, I'm dating my...
You want to write that one down. You're not going to give that to...
Rest in peace, Ovaltine.
We are not sponsored by Ovaltine.
We are not in any way sponsored by Ovaltine.
That's probably pretty clear. Let's look ahead a little bit. This week, I think from a hockey standpoint, we got Gardner against Bangor. That should be a good one. I know that's Saturday night. Gardner's at home, which should help. But Bangor's a pretty good Class A team. That'll be another stiff test for Gardner. A little earlier in the week on Wednesday, Messalonsky they're playing Hamden, and Messalonsky's got to find a way to win a couple of games here. They're kind of a win-one, lose-one stretch right now, and they're right locking that battle for playoff spots in B North. So that's one they've really got to have. So those are from a hockey standpoint, those are a couple of things that we're looking forward to here this week.
Messalonsky's the Houston Texans, basically.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Probably better than the Houston Texans.
They don't have
a Brock Osweiler.
No, they don't have that kind of holding them down. But they just can't seem to get a rhythm. And it's not a huge surprise. You go from a team that was really top-heavy in the past and really relied on a few kids to kind of carry the load in crunch time when you needed it. Now they're a team that... Though they've got some seniors, they've got some players who have experience, they don't necessarily have experience being the guys asked to carry the load. So that's been, they got a first-year head coach, and I know that Kevin Kastner's been around the program before as an assistant, but it's just a different challenge for kids. And again, we're dealing with high school kids, and so you never, sometimes you got to grow into those roles a little bit. I do have a sneaky suspicion that if they win the games they should on their schedule, Messalonsky will make the playoffs, and they should be, should be right in the hunt. I mean, I don't know. They're not ready to beat a Waterville yet, but they could win a round or two, and it wouldn't be out of the question. They got to kind of just keep building every game and taking steps backwards, obviously aren't helping that growth process.
Programs always go through transition periods, and I think in this type of situation, if you're still making the playoffs in a clear transition period, you're doing a pretty good job for yourself, and I think it shows you have a good future. So, for Messalonsky, they're able to edge on in there, which it looks like there's a pretty good chance that they will.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty solid, positive, season, regardless of...
Yeah.
Where they end up, and maybe they'll even surprise a little bit in the playoffs. So we'll see how it goes. But no, I think under the circumstances, under having a first year head coach, that's about what you could ask for.
Yeah,
that's pretty positive season.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about this, and it's not something you get a whole lot of, but they're Messalonsky played Hamden on Saturday there. Now they come back. It's kind of a home-and-home series, if you want to call it that. But, the same two teams are going to play a few days later. So I think that'll be interesting to watch. Hamden won 4-2 up there. But I don't know. I got a suspicion that, Messalonsky will kind of... Could be a different game, this time around. Hamden's an interesting team. It's a 3-versus-6 matchup right now. Hamden's third. They played a pretty good game earlier this season against Waterville, but they're also not you know, run away from the pack. It's not as though, you know, Hamden's on this, you know, unbeatable charge. They're 8-3-1, and, you know, they're, like I said, they're third. They're in a pretty good spot, but they're probably, you know, I don't know if they've separated themselves from the pack the way a couple of teams have.
It sounds like a fairly, you know, even matchup between the two teams. I mean,
what we're saying is, Eagles, it's time for you to step up.
Yes.
Let's turn this around.
We're going to, we're going to put on some Miracle. We're going to have a little Kurt Russell.
Miracle should be the required pregame viewing every hockey team.
Should.
It's just, that's what you should
play. Well, it's more family friendly than Slapshot. That way.
Also more family friendly than Slapshot. That's a great
point. Although Slapshot is
that's a great point. Wonderful. Slapshot's pretty good.
Machine ate my quarter!
Unless,
that was the G-rated version.
But high school kids can't. You're not allowed to watch it yet.
No, not yet. Not until you're 30.
You have to.
Then you can watch it.
You have to be able to appreciate it.
It is a dirty movie.
It is a dirty movie.
I love it, but it's a dirty. Even Paul Newman said it was a dirty movie.
It's funny you say, because the other night it was on, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, before Christmas. And I watched it, and I forgot just how bad it is.
Like, yeah.
Oh yeah, not kid friendly.
Yeah. Oh, it's. I watch it. It was required watching for me right before at the start of every hockey season.
Mm-hmm.
I throw in Slapshot, and I think this year was actually the first year in like 5 years that I missed that. You know, having a kid does that to you.
Yes. Well, it does. Yeah.
But God, I love that movie. I love that movie so much.
Great movie. It's way better than the Mighty Ducks.
It is, and I grew up with the Mighty Ducks.
Right.
I mean, I was the right age when the movie came out.
Right.
And you know, the first one was good. The second one was okay when they're representing the United States. The third one was never should have been Don.
You started
D3 should never have. That was a joke.
You started with the first one was good. And
that's just Disney like writing out the franchise.
That's
just slamming it into the ground.
That's Disney.
That's
Disney.
It was disgusting.
Wow. This is
gone. Julie the Cat Gaffney, though. Hottie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Can we? Yeah, we can. That's PG.
Sure.
We can do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can do that. I approve it. I approve it.
She was a pretty lady. Julie the Cat was a pretty lady. And her character was from Bangor, Maine. I mean, come on. You can't
beat
that.
Good save. Good save.
You can't beat that.
That's true. We like that. Do you have an apology for anybody this week? Do you have an apology this week? Because last week you bailed on it.
I bailed on the rant. I definitely have a rant this week for sure.
No apology.
No, I have an apology though. Oh goodness gracious! Caught me at the quick here. I apologize for my uneasiness on the feeling of the passing of Superfly Jimmy Snuka, who should be a celebrated professional wrestler, but unfortunately he's linked to a possible murder from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And because of that, and because unfortunately we'll never know the actual, how it actually went down, because they reopened the investigation this past year, and Snuka, who was suffering from dementia at the time, was found not competent enough to stand trial. So it basically saved him from doing any jail time. I knew about this for a long time. I'm 31. I've been a wrestling fan for 25 years, so I've known about the Snuka incident for at least 20 of that.
Yeah.
And extremely talented professional wrestler, but I can't. The whole situation has just been really awkward.
It has been awkward. It's funny. I do remember as a kid, he was. I mean, he was the innovator of the high risk.
He was the first real true high flyer.
Risk.
Yeah, he was the first true high flyer.
I remember as a kid when he was on, and when you would see it, the Superfly. I mean, you can't, the nickname said it all. Like it was. That's how you felt. Like it was something otherworldly. It was unbelievable.
I mean, for you know, old school wrestling fans, they always remember the coconut incident with Roddy Piper.
Oh, the
Piper's pit where Roddy Piper hit Superfly over the head with a coconut. which would never happen today, by the way, in today's world. But
no, that's probably not.
Yeah, that would not be politically correct these days. But and his match with Don Morocco at Madison Square Garden, which was a steel cage match, and Superfly jumped off the top of the cage onto Morocco, was actually a spot that inspired many other wrestlers, including Mick Foley, Mankind, Cactus Jack, however you know him as, to become a professional wrestler. He was there that night at Madison Square Garden. So, again,
the iconic black and white photo of Superfly Snuka in the corner on top of the steel cage with his arms outspread.
Crimson mask, on it, like blood all over his face, and just...
Yeah, you couldn't have that today either.
No, they stopped the match. But again, very talented professional wrestler, outside the ring, not so certain how he was as a human being. So it's unfortunate. The whole thing's unfortunate, and as a wrestling fan, kind of made me feel uneasy this week. So, which I hadn't felt like since the passing of Chris Benoit, which was also a really... I mean, that was pretty brutal, too.
That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, but, All right.
Do you have a rant this week?
I do. I'm ready for the rant, and as soon as you...
Okay, so every week we do the 30-second rant. So Dave has 30 seconds, what we each do. I'm going to let Dave go first, because I think he's fired up. 30 seconds to rant on whatever topic you want in 3, 2, 1...
The now team formerly known as San Diego Chargers moved to L.A. this week, and I hope that they have 10 years at least of losing seasons because they, for 15 years, they couldn't get a stadium deal done with the city of San Diego. A pox on their soul, a pox on the soul of the San Diego city councilors, and I hope that they completely fail in L.A. Absolute failure. I hope they have to move somewhere else.
You still have 4 seconds if you want to use it.
Pox on their souls.
And that's 30 seconds. I can't disagree with that. I think that's horrible. I think when you're when you're renting out a soccer stadium of 27,000 people and you're like the 10th hottest act in town now, sports-wise, that is a recipe for disaster. Just awful.
And here's the thing. I understand.
You already had your rant.
Well, it's really quick. And I know that Chargers fans they're not like Packers fans or Giants or Steelers fans. Really... hardcore, you know, life or death fan base. But they had 55 years between the American Football League and the NFL in that city. And there's still history there. And that's what makes it really sad. And some really good teams, some really good players. It's heartbreaking.
Okay, that took your rant to like a minute and 15 seconds. Oh, so next week, if you could just work on that. It can't be like this all the time.
It needs to be said.
All right, I think I got a good 30 seconds here.
Okay.
All right, and whenever you tell me when, I got 30 seconds.
All right, go.
All right, if you're that high school fan that thinks your kids are all angels in any sport, hockey fans, but everybody on the other team is out for blood and that it's socially acceptable to call kids names, scream at them like they're professional athletes on TV, and hope that bad things happen to them, you are the worst kind of high school sports fan there is. I'm not saying don't support your team. I'm not saying, you know, don't cheer and don't boo and don't do all these things. All I'm saying is just remember that there are real live high school kids on the other team, and they have the same issues. They work just as hard. They try and do the same things. They try and accomplish the same things as your kids. It doesn't make them the spawn of the devil, all right, just because they're wearing a different colored jersey. This is high school sports, people, okay? Lighten up.
How many? 55 seconds.
All right, I got like 8 more seconds.
Wait, are you doing a minute one?
No, it's a 30-second rant.
That was 55 seconds.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I'm good. We have to go to break?
Maybe we should just do like a minute. Maybe it should be a minute.
No, it's got to be 30 seconds. Okay. Because it's all we have time for. We don't have time.
I agree with you, though. I mean, any fan that wishes who either like wishes harm on another kid or this is the lowest of the low.
I won't even say which school it was. I will tell you, I was at the Waterville Gardner game, right?
Yep.
We talked about. And there was a huge contingent of fans for both sides. The building was packed. Kid gets cross-checked from behind, down behind his own net, and he's down, and the referee, you know, arm goes straight up. It's clearly a penalty to anybody with, you know, two eyes. Mm. And I hear this guy sitting three people away from me scream out, "It's called hockey cupcake."
Wow.
Come on! Wow. Come on! There's a special spot for you, okay? There is a special spot waiting for you. That, I mean, come on!
I have seen parents wish bodily harm.
Yes!
To other... I'll be really quick. I covered a Winslow-Belfast football game.
Right.
A couple years ago, and I know I mentioned this before we did the podcast, but basically, Dylan Hapworth, who was the star running back and kicker for Winslow at the time, was having a great game.
Look at you. You're naming names and everything.
I'm naming names and everything, but he was having a great game, and, you know, Winslow was beating Belfast, and I'm standing on the Belfast sideline. And this is where I'm going to get in trouble back home because I'm living in Belfast right now, I just realized. But a Belfast fan actually was right behind me as I'm standing there, hoping for bodily harm, that a Belfast player would actually take out and injure a Winslow
fantastic stuff,
football
isn't it?
Player.
It's so wonderful.
In a high school football game. Now, I'm not saying, and by the way, as I say that, I don't mean that the whole fan base is, I'm not trying to.
No, right, no.
We're talking about one person.
Your fan. That fan.
That one
that
person.
That fan.
That fan. That guy is the lowest of the low. So.
Here's one. Okay. So, I had a playoff football game this year on a Saturday night, Mestalonsky and Skowhegan. Kids hurt, down, trainers from both sides, long delay. Fan in one corner of the end zone screaming, "Get up, this is taking long enough." And when he gets up, hit him again. Come on! What is the matter with you? I mean, okay, so we can make the cracks. So Travis is a soccer guy, haha, okay, I get it. But come on!
No, this is the defense, this is just that.
It's not a video game, people. You can't just reset your roster and turn injuries off. It happens.
This is what action movies do to people. Oh. Desensitizes and takes away from.
Why can't we all just watch the Mighty Ducks and get along?
You know,
Flying V, everybody's happy, we're all friends at the end
of
it.
Hey, those Hawks wanted to hurt him.
Yeah, but...
And the Iceland team wanted to hurt him.
But at the end, it's like Rocky IV, right? We put our arms around each other and we respect each other now. We don't have to kill each other.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. Yeah, but afterward, after that, right?
If I can change, if yous can change, everybody can change. I felt truly American when I first heard those words.
So great.
That's wonderful.
I wonder how that movie was received.
And then Rocky V came out.
And then Rocky V.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
God,
anyway,
soul.
I think next week that should be our topic. Like, how was Rocky IV received when it came out, you know, in Russia? Because I got a feeling they got a different take on that movie than we did.
I could ask my stepdad. I think he had moved out of Russia at that point.
Moved out of Russia. All right.
My stepfather's from Moscow.
All right.
He left the country in 1980, I believe.
We need to find out how that movie was received in Russia. Because it did paint them in a not very positive light.
No. Well, I mean, still Cold War going on.
Oh, yeah.
I was born... Yeah. When Rocky IV came out was when I was born.
Holy cow.
Just to put a...
Dave,
just
come
to
on.
make you feel old and put a cap on the whole thing.
Now I feel really old.
Yeah.
Now I feel really old.
Creed, by the way, was amazing.
Creed's a good movie.
If you haven't seen Creed yet, you owe it to yourself to see Creed.
I think we need a new feature sports movie of the week. Creed was good.
Creed was really good. I went to the movie theater by myself, actually. It was just a random night. I went and I had... You know, Rocky's probably my favorite franchise, I think. Short. And
whoa,
now,
what?
Right after, no, The Godfather's number one.
Star
Rocky's
Wars? That
two.
Doesn't rank?
No,
oh, my God.
No, I like Star Wars, but it's not number one. Number one's The Godfather, and then after The Godfather, it's Rocky.
You gotta get out more.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocky's good. I'm not quibbling.
I mean, I've seen other franchises. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've seen unfortunately, I've seen all the Twilight movies and
my aching head.
Lord
what
of the Rings.
The what is the Twilight?
Yeah.
Girlfriend made you watch it.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I regret that.
We're not really talking about sports anymore.
No, we're completely going off the rails again.
All right, listen.
But at least it was at the end of the podcast.
It was at the end. Listen, thank you for listening to the Crossbar podcast.
Thank you.
Tell your friends about us. If you're like me and Dave and you don't have any friends, tell your family members. They're obligated by bloodline to do whatever you ask them to do. So,
and if you're hearing this right now, email or tweet us your favorite sports movie. Actually, we'll talk about it next week, and we'll see if we got any results. I'm at Dave_Dyer on Twitter.
I'm at TBarrettGWC. So yeah, I want to hear what your best sports movie of all time.
Absolutely, we'll bring it back up next week.
All right, I'm Travis Barrett.
I'm Dave Dyer.
Thank you for listening to Crossbar. We'll talk to you next week.